Why don't we get started? Environment, natural resources. The only item on our agenda today is Senate File 235. Apologize that session ran over. Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to start with an author's amendment, the A3 amendment, if somebody would offer that to put it in the form I'd like to work on the bill with.
All right, Senator Saxog will move the A3.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a quorum?
Do we have
Senator
a quorum?
Senator Dibble has checked in.
So all right, we'll just start, Mr. Chair, if we don't have a quorum. Not quite yet.
Good question. No, we don't have a quorum
okay,
yet.
Okay, we'll just walk through it, and I'll reference the A3 as I go along. And
I have
when there are people in here, then if you would adopt it, that would be great.
Is this the first stop for your bill?
Mr. Chair, it is the first stop. Okay. It is the fifth year, but the first stop.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, this is the bill that we call the e-waste bill. For the last 5 years, a group of folks from the counties, the manufacturers, the retailers, the environmental groups, and anybody else I can think of has been trying to pass a bill that would set in place a plan statewide for the collection, transportation, and recycling of computers and various components involved in those computers. It's been a little more difficult than we thought it was when we first started, and I believe the Senate has passed a version of the e-waste bill 4 times. But we got hung up in the other body, and what always seemed to be the problem over there, if I could break Senate rules for just a sec, was that it seemed to be more not whether we should put together a bill like this, but how we should do it. So this year, I think we're going back at it again. Those of you who were in the committee last year will find this very familiar. This is we started this year with where we ended last year's bill, and then made some modifications. And then the new members will just have to catch you up. I think you'll like what we're proposing here. If I could just walk through the bill very quickly. The first section is the definitions. I'll call your attention to subdivision 7. These are the electronic devices that will be covered under this bill. Subdivision 16 talks about, it explains the recycling credits that you'll hear more about today. Subdivision 20 defines the video display devices, and it defines what is not included in our definition of video display devices, mostly retail things, the computers in cars, things in microwaves and freezers and refrigerators and those kinds of things are not included in this. This is a bill to deal with household electronic waste. Many years ago, the state enacted legislation dealing with business electronic waste. So just to remember, this is household electronic waste. Over the years, we've had many discussions about what should be included in this bill as the devices that are covered. We chose this collection knowing that sometime in the future we will add more electronic devices, but at this point we think that this is a big bite for the entities to start recycling, and so rather than dump everything in there all at once, we will start with this group, and then we will be adding as time goes by. Section 2 talks about the registration program. Say that after August 1st of this year, a manufacturer cannot sell or deliver to retailers a new covered device unless it is labeled with the manufacturer's brand, and you'll probably hear more about that later, and that the manufacturer has filed its registration with the Pollution Control Agency. The PCA is going to put together a website that will get all of the information available at people's fingertips so they know who those manufacturers are who are part of the program. And a lot of other good information that will make this program work. Subdivision 2 of that section talks about the duties of the manufacturers when they register. We'll have some amendments in there when we get enough people for the author's amendment. Subdivision 3 talks about the responsibilities of for registration of the people who actually collect the devices before they go off to recycling. Subdivision 4 talks about the registration for the recyclers. Section 3 of the bill is the manufacturer's registration fee information. We are going to collect a fee from the manufacturers on an annual basis. A3 amendment will change that amount for the first year and then back down after that. In this section, we also talk about the number of covered devices that the manufacturers will be expected to recycle. Last year, you may remember, we talked about a buy one, recycle one. Seems pretty easy. If you sell a computer in this state, you're going to, at some point, recycle another computer to take its place. In many discussions that we've had, we're not sure the one-to-one is the right amount, the right proportion, I should say. And in our amendment, we'll be changing the one-to-one to a 1:0.8. On page 6, it's section D there, starting on 6.25, we put in place a mechanism that we think will work to encourage people to recycle in the non-metro area. We know that there's a lot of recycling already being done in the metro area, in the 11-county metro area, but we really wanted to put a good incentive in place to encourage the recycling in the other counties. So when when the amount that each manufacturer is determined that they will have to recycle, we're going to put a higher premium on the electronic waste in the non-metro areas, rather than counting it as a one. It will be in the bill. It says 1.3. We're going to change that to 1.5 to give them even more of an incentive to collect out there. There are lots of reporting requirements, and again, the amendment will be changing some of those things. You'll be hearing more about that in other people's presentations. The manufacturers, the recyclers, and the collectors all have reporting requirements. Section 5 talks about the various responsibilities of the manufacturers, the recyclers, and the retailers. And to make this plan work, they all have to do their part. And that's in Section 5, and you can read that. Section 6 talks about the duties of the Pollution Control Agency in making this plan work. I'll let you read that for yourself as you go along. Section 7, we clearly state that the public agency cannot require that households use the public facilities to recycle to the exclusion of other lawful programs that are available. We know that there are lots of good companies out there who are doing this recycling, and we don't want to say you must recycle at the county rather than Acme Recycling. So this clearly says that we're not trying to displace that. The next section is the requirements for purchasing by the state agencies, and the Department of Administration will be working with me. I think we don't have the language quite right in here, but one of the future stops for this bill is state and local government operations, and that we will make sure that it's done before that stop. And then the last two sections talk about the time where maybe somebody at the federal level will decide to do a federal program, and then all states will have the same program. We say that if that actually ever happens, we will automatically go to that program. People have been telling us for 5 years now that there needs to be a national solution to this, and they've been working on it, and the states have just decided that they're giving up on the federal government because there's just so much electronic waste out there now that we need to act now and not wait for the federal government. But if they ever get it together and they actually put something together, we'll be right there with them. And then Section 10, Representative Denny Osmond has been a leader at the national level with NCSL and Council of State Governments, in the environment committees there, working on this issue, and he has really worked hard to get a regional multi-state organization together. So Section 10 authorizes the agency and the department to participate in putting, you know, something like a compact together so that our region is working very closely together. Do you have anything you want to say to start with? Mr. Chair, there are a lot of people who've been working on this who would like to talk to you about this. Do we have a quorum yet to adopt the A3?
Senator Sachsaug will move the A3. The author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'd like to call up Jim Kordiak, an Anoka County Commissioner, who has been working on this project longer than I have. And he was involved at the federal level as well. And Commissioner, come on up. It's all yours.
Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Senators. I am Jim Kordiak. I'm Anoka County Commissioner. Have been for about 20 years now, representing the area. I have been involved with this discussion for a good many years. I won't tell you how long, but we have seen this as a concern for a long time now. And we continue to make progress in this concern. I will offer some comments. I won't be specific. I think that Senator Higgins and others will do that better than I. I will make some general comments, though, if you will permit. I would like to tell you that this bill is a response to the July 06 ban on CRT disposal, and I would like to suggest that a ban without an outlet for recycling isn't going to work in the end. This bill represents the collective genius of many years of effort, over hundreds of hours, with the involvement of many individuals who have carefully examined this issue nationwide. Even I myself have been involved with this on the national level when the NEPSI organization was attempting to create a national solution. I tell you, it's a response, if you would, this bill is to the homeowners' complaints and concerns about the lack of disposal outlets. They're becoming more and more aware. I had breakfast this morning at 6:30 in Columbia Heights. My friend has a TV set in his garage. He has no place to put it. I'm sure many of you can share similar observations. This bill is a response to a nationwide and international efforts to provide effective management of electronics. We'd like to recreate in Minnesota what already exists in Maine, in Massachusetts, in Washington, and California. They have already passed legislation dealing with this subject, as well as a variety of other entities. We have 12 countries in the EU. We have 4 provinces in Canada, Japan, and I forget where else. This is not a new issue. This is a nationwide, international issue that we're pursuing. And I'll tell you the important thing about this bill, that's a very good bill, I believe. You know, it supports the existing infrastructure that's there. So many other approaches go in other directions or make a heavy involvement of government. This does not. Government's role is limited. On this bill, we believe that Minnesota does need a solution to provide the recycling of video display commodities as well as covered products that does not come out of the taxpayers' pockets. We think the responsibility should be shared by those who are creating these materials and putting them into the environment. Product stewardship is a landmark discussion that we have here, and that's really what this is about. We believe that this bill will help to protect the environment. You know, we went into this discussion because of the many different kinds. If you ever saw the list of kind of materials that are in most video display devices, electronics, it's huge. And we like to think that we can do a better job for the environment, better job for Minnesota. The bill, as I pointed out, is government light. If you talk to the PCA, I think that they would certainly agree that their involvement is very limited. And the role of manufacturers is their responsibility to manage this waste with assistance from us. And finally, I simply would say that this is a good solution for the citizens of the state of Minnesota on this very troublesome issue. I can assure you that we worked long and hard and debated in many different ways on this. There's 100 approaches, and we think that over the years we've come together to find a very effective approach. It's got the support of counties who are here today, cities, environmental groups, businesses, retailers, and a wide variety of others, many of whom are in the audience today. And today we're here to seek your support. I stand for questions if you should have them, and if that would be helpful in aiding your understanding of this interesting discussion. Thank you.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Has there been consideration, and I haven't been party to a lot of the discussion, and I know this legislation has been kind of here, I don't know, if the last 5 years, okay, 5 years. There's a number of things that are omitted in terms of recycling, and I haven't read through or done the page and line amendment here yet, but you know there's a lot of the home appliances now have basically CRT panels. And what happens to those, like in the washing machines and the dryers and the stoves? They're getting more and more sophisticated. I don't know what that what that distinction would be. Can we just if we replace those, can we just tear those panels out and bring them to the Phil?
I'll try and answer that. I've seen my share of refrigerators that have TVs in them. So if you're referring to those kinds of opportunities that we have, I guess my first answer is that I don't know that this bill will solve all of every single type of arena. We haven't really talked about whether or not we'll recycle a refrigerator as a result of the fact that it has a TV set in it. Could you demount it and properly manage that? Maybe you could. But I don't know that we specifically are getting into those kinds of opportunities in this bill. We do limit the size. Is it 6 inches or 7-inch size screens? So when you get a little tiny TV or video display device, they're really not included in this bill. They really are intended for desktop kind of computers, TV sets, and other kind of video display devices, which is obviously the vast proportion of the waste that's out there. There may be other kind of examples of things that are there, but we're really not trying to tackle every single one of them today. We've argued a great deal about what the scope of projects should be, quite frankly. And there's been many, many different people who've had different ideas about what should be included, from cell phones to an endless variety. We are trying to go slow on that approach. Maybe one day we'd like to expand that listed products. But today we think that we need to focus on an area that we know and that we know that we can manage.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have another question. And this relates back to the Section 3. I think it relates back to Section 3 where the registration fee and that formula on line 6.5 How can you just kind of, in layman's terms, explain how much money is going to be there and which counties are going to access it and how do they access it? part of my rationale for the question is that, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, we were sitting here and we created a landfill recycling closure proposal under SCORE. It was actually, you know, it's SCORE funding, and it generated, I think counties at that time got 25,000 or maybe a minimum of 25,000, but there was actually some formula in there until the legislature a few years ago kind of went in and took the money out of it and basically balanced the state's budget with it. But I'd like to understand a little bit better how this works across the state.
Trudy, please. Yeah, thank you. I think I can. Go ahead.
Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Senators. My name is Trudy Richter. I'm here on behalf of the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. And I understood, Senator Stump, your question to be how much money and access to that money. Would you also like an explanation of the calculation of the fee itself? Because this is the crux of the bill in terms of other alternative methods for recycling. And if I could take a minute and make sure everyone understands that it is based upon the amount the manufacturers have sold the year previous through retailers here in the state of Minnesota. So A is the number of pounds, and it's based on video display devices. And it's important to understand that we are only requiring the recycling of the CRTs, which are in video display devices, but the formula allows the manufacturer to count all covered electronic devices towards meeting its obligation of how many pounds of video display devices were sold the year before. So A is the number of pounds sold to households during the previous program year, and B is a proportion of the sales. And that, for the first year, based upon the A3 amendment, is 0.8, and for the subsequent years, it's 1 to 1, as Senator Higgins mentioned. Then you subtract the pounds of covered electronic devices, so they get credit for anything they collect related to DVDs, video and other items. And you can also get recycling credits, and those are because you did more than your required recycling obligation. And when you get done, you either will be at a zero, you'll have recycling credits to carry to the next year, or you'll be short, the manufacturer will be short in its obligation, and then it will be charged 50 cents per pound that it's short in terms of meeting its obligation. That's where the money is generated. That money then is handled in a creation of the account below this section in subdivision 2. That is, will be handled by the Commissioner of Revenue, but it will be the Pollution Control Agency that will, pursuant to lines 7.5 on, distribute those monies in a competitive basis with counties outside the 11-county metropolitan area. It is felt that there are enough programs in the metropolitan area, there's enough density, that it's likely manufacturers will try and meet their obligations more likely in the metro area than in greater Minnesota. So this will incentivize manufacturers to either work in greater Minnesota because they get 1.5 times the pounds if they do that, or alternatively, if they pay the 50 cents, the PCA then will make sure it gets allocated out to greater Minnesota so that our whole state gets the program we're hoping for.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Ms. Richter, when you say competitive basis, I'm not sure I understand what competitive means in this regard, because won't each, it's not really based on counties, is it? I mean, each county won't have a recycling center, or will they?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stump, not all counties do have recycling centers. That's correct. Competitive basis will be private and or public requests for those monies. The PCA already has quite a few programs where counties participate in competitive grants and other processes. I think it's one that they'll manage in a similar fashion.
Senator Higgins, you want to continue with your testimony?
Mr. Chair, let me find my list. I'm sorry. Laura Bishop from Best Buy has been working with us quite a bit on behalf of the retailers. Is next to speak? And is Buzz coming up too? And Buzz Anderson from the Retailers Association.
Welcome to the committee.
Hello. I'm Laura Bishop with Best Buy, Director of Government Relations. Thank you for having me here today, Mr. Chairman. Best Buy supports this bill, and we've been working with Senator Higgins and members of the e-waste task force last year and have been really working on trying to pass an electronics recycling bill in the state for quite a few years. We have looked at many of the different proposals that have been at the table, and this bill right now, with the different stakeholders that have been involved, we feel represents a balanced approach. It's a manufacturer responsibility bill, which we support both as a retailer and as a manufacturer. We are a manufacturer because of our private label brands, and that includes TVs that we manufacture and DVD players that we manufacture. We feel that with this bill, the reasons that the manufacturer responsibility really represents a balanced approach are because it encourages manufacturers to really come to the table to create their own programs and really incorporate into the cost of the product something that can be good for the consumer ultimately and bring down the cost of recycling for the consumer. So it encourages a greener design ultimately, and it encourages market forces where they compete against, where manufacturers can compete against each other and bring down the cost of recycling ultimately for the consumer. Any way you look at recycling and this electronics recycling bills, there's been different models out there. The consumer is ultimately going to pay, whether it's end of life, or it's at point of sale, or whether it's in when you build it into the cost of the product. It's only when you build it into the cost of the product and you have manufacturers forced to compete against each other that the consumer ultimately is going to get the best value because of the market forces where they need to compete against each other. We have recycling programs in place, Best Buy does, that ultimately we can function under this bill and can provide recycling options for consumers. And we have, if any of you have come to our recycling events, they're fun events for consumers. We often do them in conjunction with manufacturers, which this bill looks at and allows us to partner with manufacturers. That's something that we would continue to do under this bill, we'd hope to. And I think that it's a good bill in that way. We think that by incorporating the price into the product as well, it can create a greener product. We've seen this with manufacturers when they have their own programs that they do look at how they get their products. They take apart their products, and it provides an incentive for manufacturers to be able to create that greener product. Is this the only way to do a manufacturer responsibility bill? No. This is the one that we think is a viable option for Minnesota, and we think is a good one right now for Minnesota. And that's why we've supported this. The Council of State Governments passed a resolution. They were unanimous in this, supporting manufacturer responsibility. I have included that in the packets for many of you. And They passed that at their annual meeting in November. And it's really based on the idea that manufacturers need to look at ways to take responsibility for their product. This is a bill that follows that resolution. It says that it looks at the Midwest Initiative, it looks at the Northeast Regional Initiative, which is also based on the Council of State Governments initiative, and says this is a regional effort that we're looking at, and we like that as Best Buy. We're not only in Minnesota, we're in 49 states, and if we can look at something that, you know, is broader to the Minnesota, that's good for us as well. But our goal right now is to get something passed here. We've worked on this a long time, and we've worked with Senator Higgins a long time, and we think that there's real effort here to move this, and we'd like to see it pass, and we support that. I do want to see efforts by manufacturers that have real good programs and have done a good job of recycling to be accounted for, and we've talked with the e-waste task force and members that have worked hard on this about accounting for those manufacturers to be at the table because they do a good job in this and making certain that their programs are accounted for in this bill as well. Thank you.
Senator Pariseau, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Higgins, I would like to, on the amendment, if you look at the amendment, I'm trying to reconcile lines 116 to 120 through 26. First of all, you say they may report. And then down there you say they must report. What is the relation of those two to each other, since that's being inserted about how the company reports?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I think what the amendment is doing is giving the manufacturers two options on what they report. Report on line 1.22 of the amendment, the total weight of the video display devices the manufacturer sells to households during the previous year. Then on page on line 24, or estimate of the total weight based on their national sales data. So what the original bill had was just the you must tell us how much you sold in Minnesota last year. And in speaking to the manufacturers, some of them will have difficulty because they tend to track their data more on a nationwide basis. So they have told us, though, that they could extrapolate an amount for the state of Minnesota. So we're giving them in this amendment the option of doing one or the other.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think I understand now what your purpose is, but is that going to cause a difference in how each company then is treated? Since I don't know if one would be more advantageous over the other. I'm not sure because I'm not in the business of calculating that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pariseau, I don't think so. You know, we want to make sure that the manufacturers feel that the amount that they are going to be responsible for is an appropriate amount, and this gives them the way to get to that amount in a manner that they feel is appropriate to their company.
Thank you.
Senator Stahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Ms. Bishop, and this is more out of my own kind of naivete, I guess. Are there when you look at, like, televisions, are there, you know, you have the old tube and the kind that weigh about 300 pounds, and then you have the LCD, and then they have plasma. Are there types of electronic equipment that is more environmentally friendly and doesn't have problems or as many problems with? And if so, wouldn't it be nice to be able to kind of encourage the public to kind of go down that road versus, well, eventually I suppose they will if that wins out in the public's eye. Can you enlighten me about, is it LCD or is it plasma or is there something new coming down that would be less environmentally a problem?
Ms. Bishop.
Mr. Chair and Senator Stump, I think that someone from PCA could probably talk more about the products and what they contain and which elements are more potentially hazardous than others. And I know that the tube TVs and the CRTs are really the more problematic ones that I have heard of than the others, but they'll know more about that than I will and can talk to it better than I can.
All right, keep that question in mind as we move through the testimony. Mm-hmm. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Chair, just a second. The various kinds of things that are in a computer or a television include lead and a lot of other things that I don't even know what they are. Germanium, gallium, copper, barium, nickel, zinc, tantalum, indium, vanadium, terbium, beryllium, europium, titanium, ruthenium, cobalt, palladium, manganese, and a whole lot more. So we think that the manufacturers, when they start having to be responsible by weight of recycling, they will start, and they already are starting, many of them are moving toward much more environmentally friendly components. The European Union, I think, is actually leading us quite a bit on that because they're just not allowing a lot of these things to be used in them. So it's moving along, and we'll get to a good product at day soon.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think somebody would ask. Being the newbie, you got to help me out here a little bit. Ownership responsibility, I'm sure it's been talked about over the years. My question would be, are the owners, people purchasing these products, do we have any figures on how many a household may purchase, one household versus another, maybe that's in the material? One household may purchase five products that were pertaining to this. The other household may only do one or two. Do we have anything like that? And I also have a question about the charging of the 50 cents per pound. And does your bill address anything revenue neutral? In other words, if there's excess money in this fund, at the end of the day, where does that go? Do we look at then maybe saying reducing that 50 cents to 30 cents? I would hate to see the state in the business of
Putting
more
waste.
Money back into the general fund.
Mr. Chair,
thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, I can answer the second one first. On the A3 amendment, the top of the second page, we talk about if the revenues in the account exceed the amount that the agency determines is necessary to run the program effectively, then the agency will recommend to us, the legislature, what would be a good way to change either the base registration fee or the poundage cost, and then we as a legislature will modify that.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to get rich on this either.
Right.
We want to make sure that there's enough in the fund so that the counties that are having a hard time putting their programs together have some funds to do that. So that the whole state is well served with an electronic recycling program. And beyond that, then we can move the amounts up and down. And the first piece I've already forgotten. So Mr. Anderson will answer it.
Sure. Has there been any numbers at all about consumption rates? I'm sitting here, again, at my first meeting at with regards to e-waste, and I'm sitting here wondering why the purchaser of the product is not a little more responsible and why this should be a state function. And again, understanding that I'm very, very understanding of the situation that the photographs are showing here. Has there been any talk about that? The consumer is going to pay, no doubt, one way or the other here. I think you addressed that. Is that a reasonable approach, or is it more reasonable, I guess, or has it ever been talked about? The old three pieces, you bring it into the recycle plan, it costs you $5 a piece yourself.
Mr. Chair, over the years we've had, I think we started out with what we called an advanced recycling fee, where when you go to buy your computer, you pay a recycling fee right up front. That's the model that California has. There was a lot of angst about that, and so then over the years we've moved to this manufacturer responsibility model. And I think as Ms. Bishop said, you know, you're going to pay one way or another. You either pay because the manufacturers build the recycling of the products into the actual cost of the computers or TVs when they sell them, or they set up a program. I think Apple has a program where when you buy a computer, they give you a box and a prepaid label, and you can send your old computer back to them. Best Buy does it by having big semis in the parking lot, and on Saturday and Sunday you can come and just unload your car full of stuff. So there are all kinds of models. And we have a lot of companies that are here in Minnesota where when you're done with your computer, I have one that's dying upstairs in my house. It's going to go away one of these days. And you could just go and pay your fee there, and they will do the recycling. Hennepin County has a wonderful program where we can put our televisions and all those kinds of things out with the trash on Thursdays, which is my day, and then the county has a program where they work with, is it PPL? For Pride and Living, and they dismantle them and get things back. So we've got all kinds of things going on.
Well, okay, that continues. Mostly
in the metro area.
Right, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Buzz Anderson. I'm president of the Minnesota Retailers Association. Excuse me, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm very proud to have Best Buy as a member, but Best Buy is not my only member. I have a number of other large and small retailers who, on behalf of this association, support this legislation. I first of all, though, want to acknowledge the very hard work that Senator Higgins has gone through over the last several years, working with all the different partners and all the different players in this issue to get a bill to the table that we can finally pass. I also want to acknowledge Representative Saylor, Representative Osment, the OEA, Swim Club, the AMC, Recyclers, House Research, and Senate Counsel for their hard work in helping us dog through all this complicated subject that we're dealing with. Our association supports this bill very strongly. It has a number of really important features. Number one, it does recognize that some retailers are manufacturers. That is, they self-brand. They sell a product under a label that is identified with their company. So then again, that makes them manufacturers. Oh, we think that's okay, and we think that's a good idea. And so we're here at the table, not only in some cases as retailers, but in some cases also as manufacturers. Number two, this takes a provider responsibility approach. And we know that just from looking at all the different models around the country that we think this is the one that most people are starting to favor. And we think it's most favorable and friendliest to consumers. Number three, we think it provides an incentive to rural Minnesota so that you want to do recycling programs in rural Minnesota as well as in the metropolitan area where it's probably easier to do. We also think it's a good bill because it encourages manufacturers to continue to build more environmentally friendly products. We look forward to quick adoption of this legislation, and we urge your support of this proposal. And again, thank you. Be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Olson, you had a question from before.
Got a couple. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Higgins. I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of these, and I probably haven't grasped all of it just yet. But what it appears that this is applying only to household waste. So what percentage of the video display sold are actually going into commercial enterprise as over against household? Is there any idea of what that
is? Okay. Mr. Hickel from the PCA can help us with that answer.
Mr. Chair, Senator, my name is Garth Hickel. I'm with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. It's our assumption that about 90% of all televisions are going into the household market, and then about 50% of computer monitors and laptops are going into the household market.
Okay. Thank you.
And Senator Olson,
so that leaves just 10% of TVs in a commercial endeavor, but half of the computers. Is there anything happening at the commercial or on the recycling level with those 50% video display? Now that's computers, but we're talking video displays, which goes beyond computers.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, large institutions are required under RCRA to manage their material appropriately.
And what is RCRA?
And that's the Resource Conservation Recovery Act. It was a federal law passed. We do have a state version of that in Minnesota implemented through rules. And not going into too many details, but essentially the obligation is placed on generators to make a determination as to whether their material is hazardous or not. It's our understanding that all of the large generators essentially manage that material appropriately, will contract with a recycler to come pick up their old video display devices, whether they're old televisions or computers, computer monitors, computers, laptops, and so forth.
So, Mr. Chairman, sir, so at the commercial level, it's that by generator you mean the end user of the product. There, the responsibility is on the commercial side is with them versus the manufacturer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And then I have a couple questions relative to the revenue side. As I was trying to study this formula, what are the projections that you've made regarding the amount of revenue that this you anticipate will be generated when this is put into place?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, right now our projections are based on the number of registrants that are registering in the programs in Maine and Washington. And so we're assuming that it'll be about 160 manufacturers that will register. And we're anticipating that will translate into revenue the first year for the $2,500 amount to about $400,000 for the state administrative expenses.
So Mr. Chairman, I missed that just based on that $5,000, the initial fee that would generate $400,000.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, Senator Higgins just mentioned to me that it is $5,000 for the first year and then $2,500 in the subsequent year. So that would be $800,000 the first year and then scaling down to $400,000 in subsequent years.
So, Mr. Chairman, is that anticipated to be the major source of revenue for the program versus this A times B minus C minus plus D times E?
What page is that formula?
On page 6.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, the registration fee is just simply meant to fund the expenses of the Pollution Control Agency as well as the Department of Revenue. Any other fees that come in based on manufacturers who choose to pay that 50 cents per pound or that they don't meet their obligation and are required to pay that 50 cents per pound, that those dollars will then be used to fund collection opportunities in greater Minnesota. The level at 50 cents per pound was established based on the experience in both Maine and California, and I believe it was the intent of the Waste Management Task Force that that would be set at a level which would really provide an incentive for manufacturers to operate their own program rather than paying the state and having the state having to fulfill those responsibilities.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, that was getting at my other one, is that what assumptions do you make about the manufacturer's behavior in order to generate the money? Now, that if the main state fee is that general registration that everybody has to pay, but that generation of that 50 cents is driven by what behavior they choose to pursue, as you've said. And I presume that not too many, well, I don't know what proportion of the manufacturers are local that would have an easier time operating programs versus somewhere else that may be paying the fee, out-of-state ones that may be paying the fee, or am I misjudging something else again, that would pay the fee because they don't have a program, or can they get credit even if they're not in this state for anything that they recycle and get away from this fee as well?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, to answer your last question, they will get credit regardless of where they're located, whether they're in the state or not, if you're talking about material that's generated within the state. The intent is that it's set at 50 cents per pound, that does provide a defined economic incentive for manufacturers to go out and establish contractual relationships with haulers, charities, recyclers, retailers, other entities to provide collection services on their behalf, presumably at cheaper than 50 cents per pound. I think the experience in California is right now is that 48 cents per pound, at least according to several staff within the Waste Board, is probably greater than what they need to actually operate the program. So I think given what is happening with the global commodity prices and the shifting of technology from from CRT technology to LCDs, we're going to actually see kind of a per unit cost dropping for recycling. I know that there is a gentleman here from Asset Recovery Corporation who may be able to provide a little bit more insight into the specific economics of the electronics recycling business than I am. But I think it was really intended to be set high enough to really incentivize those manufacturers to go out and establish those contracts, presumably at a lower cents per pound cost.
And Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on this, now, is the incentive for avoiding the 50 cent per pound charge, I haven't read the language in detail. If somebody had some commercial customers, they could probably rake in, since we seem to have a planned obsolescence built into this of about a year, that if they took in a good batch, they could collect, they could cover that poundage. And is there any way that you know where they're getting the video displays?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, it's my understanding that the obligation is simply established based on sales to households in the state. And then correspondingly, that obligation is only to go out and collect material from households. So that as it's set up right now, a manufacturer would not be able to meet their obligation for sales to household or for their those pounds collected from households by applying waste from the commercial sector to that obligation.
And Mr. Chairman, there's a way of documenting or verifying that or not. It's just that's a matter of trust.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, at this point, I would characterize it as a matter of trust, but there's certainly auditing functions that may occur to make sure that is going on. We are, and that's why part of the reason why there's the registration requirement from both the recyclers as well as the collection agent agents so that the agency is able to track who all is involved, and we certainly will be doing some outreach to ensure that those recyclers are only processing material from households and reporting that to, back to manufacturers and so forth.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Higgins, your next witness.
Mr. Chair, Sarah Rummel from Clean Water Action is the next person to speak, followed by John Steiner, the president of the Solid Waste Administrators Association, and maybe.
Mr. Chairman?
There.
Senator Parasol, you have a question while they're coming up?
Mr. Chairman, I do, and Senator Higgins, it's on page 8, and it's. I'm just curious about how the content of line 833 came to be, and what are we providing, what are we avoiding there?
Eight three.
833 on page 8.
No prison labor to recycle. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. That's the clause. I'm wondering how that got to be there and what we're avoiding with that.
But sometimes I think that
this last one,
some of the sentence to serve people just might be an obvious. In some places where maybe a new program is being set up, sentence to serve might be a good option for that county or region.
Mr. Chair, Senator Parisot, I think we picked that up from bills that were introduced in the past. I think Senator Kubley had a bill a couple of years ago from that was put together mostly by the Computer Take Back program. Is that right? From the Computer Take Back program, which is a national organization, and I think probably most of these four items were from that. I think there are some people out in the hall trying to figure out quite where we more detail than that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins. Mr. Knopf suggested that the first clause on the next page is part of the reason that no prison labor might have come to be. However, I would think that there might be some places where it could be allowed. Not my bill. I just wanted to know where it came from. I hadn't heard it in the last several years.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Sarah Rummel, and I represent Clean Water Action. And with me is Brian Pascoe of the Sierra Club. Let me be very brief. Our two organizations, as well as the League of Conservation Voters, the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and the Institute for Ag and Trade Policy ask you to support Senate File 235. This bill accomplishes two goals. The first goal is to get the mountains of electronic waste out of the waste stream and into the hands of responsible recyclers. Electronic waste accounts for about 70% of the toxic heavy metals found in our landfills. That includes lead, mercury, and cadmium, among others. Last July, the ban on CRTs and landfills went into effect, and that accomplished the first part of this goal. Now, the e-waste needs to go somewhere. This bill takes the next step and actually gets the e-waste into the hands of responsible recyclers and out of the waste stream. The second goal is to provide an incentive for manufacturers to start using smaller amounts of the toxic heavy metals in the first place. As you probably know, a CRT contains about 4 to 8 pounds of lead. Lead, mercury, and cadmium and other heavy metals in discarded electronics have been linked to neurological, among other health problems. For these reasons, we encourage you to support Senate File 235. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Pascoe, did you have anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Brian Pascoe. I'm the legislative coordinator for the Sierra Club here in Minnesota. Out of respect for the committee's time, I won't repeat any of the previous testimony other than Mr. Anderson's to give a very sincere thank you to Senator Higgins, and I know Representative Saylor is in the room. They have worked for many, many years on this issue, have been part of many conversations and negotiations, and have created a bill that I think we can all be very proud of. So I would urge your support, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Senator Higgins, your next witness.
John Steiner, followed by Commissioner Reinhart. They're coming up, I believe. They're going to refer you to this document, which I think is at your chair. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Victoria Reinhart. I'm a Ramsey County Commissioner, and I'm here today representing the Association of Minnesota Counties. I serve as the chair of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee for the association, and are here in support of Senator Higgins' bill as a result, really, of the task force work that has and all the work that has gone on before that. I'd like to say that when we started this, my hair actually was red. So, anyhow, the bill itself encourages manufacturer responsibility, and that really is important to us as counties, that we're sharing responsibility in cooperation with the local units of government rather than having the cost fall to local governments, and dealing with recycling and product stewardship. And this has been a very important part of the Association of Minnesota Counties platform for a long time. The ban last summer on CRTs obviously went into place without a program to support it. And in many cases, the county stepped up to the plate to try to assist their residents in recycling of this waste. What we did, because we wanted to know, I mean, we had heard information from counties, but wanted to really be able to put some numbers and some real pictures and, you know, what does this really mean to counties so that we could bring that information back to you. So what we did, the association partnered with the Solid Waste Association or Administrators Association, and John will speak to that partnership as well, to put together the county e-waste survey that you have in front of you. One thing that we want you to note as we go through this, and I'll just briefly highlight some of the items in it, is that this is just for a six-month period. This was from July, when the ban went into effect, until December of last year. And something, when we put this out, we were really quite surprised that we got 100%, 87 counties responded to this survey, and I don't think that that's happened in the association's history on one issue. And what that tells you really is just how important this is to local government and how seriously we're having what we're going to have to do to deal with it, and it comes down to property taxes or other fees in order to cover this. Just briefly then, it is more of a snapshot than anything else. It is a six-month look. You'll notice that, or when you go through it, you will see that 62 counties offered programs, either through the county or through cities or townships within the county, the opportunity to recycle their e-waste. 13 counties don't have an actual program, but have provided access through the county to vendors for the recycling. 12 counties do not have a program or an association with a vendor. Another interesting number in the survey is that 65 out of 87 counties are subsidizing e-waste in some manner or another. And that includes counties that do not have a recycling program because they're having to cover the cost of the illegal dumping and the cleanup, basically. 63 counties have accessible recycling vendors are charging residents an end-of-life fee. And the lowest cost that we saw for that was $5, and obviously that's subsidized to get up to the full cost, up to the full cost of recycling. Personally, I recycled two computers out of my basement a year ago, actually before the ban went into place, but I obviously was going to make sure that they were recycled. And I paid $30 a piece, so I paid $60 to recycle the computers. 53 of the survey respondents reported some kind of illegal dumping occurring in their counties in the first 6 months of the ban. And this number really varied, as you'll see in the report, everything from 1 to 2 in some counties, upwards to 60 to 80 per month in St. Louis County. And they have provided some of the pictures that are here. The other thing that we have talked about over the last few years, and now it's very much closer at this point, is the ban on analog transmission that will go into effect in February of 2009. And that means that we're going to have many more TVs that are likely to end up in the waste stream, and the urge to, I guess, not to get rid of them illegally is going to really put a strain on our systems as people upgrade their televisions. And AMC clearly wants to make sure that the state is prepared when this actually happens, because we know that this is going to increase the volume significantly. As you review the survey responses, you will see that solutions to dealing with e-waste in the state are varied. AMC has found that the approach in the bill that is before you allows for the flexibility for counties and the residents to have access to the recycling of their electronic waste that best fits their needs. Clearly, doing nothing will only result in costing the Minnesota taxpayers more to pay the full amount of the recycling responsibility as well as for the cleanup of illegally dumped waste. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is John Steiner. I'm the Polk County Solid Waste Administrator. I'm also the president of the Solid Waste Administrators Association representing the 87 counties in Minnesota. I appeared before you today to speak on behalf of Senator Higgins' e-waste bill, which our association fully supports. There's a few important parts of that bill which are very important to our association. First off, it recognizes and addresses the diverse needs of the residents in both the rural and metro counties, and I think that's been spoken to a little bit already. This is done by allowing any party to participate in this e-waste collection and recycling program in the bill, whether it's private, public, nonprofit, or current or new partnerships, a combination of any of those. It allows for and encourages the use of the existing infrastructure that's already in place around the state. I think it was alluded to earlier that many of the counties have recycling programs in place already. As a result of the ban July 1st of last year, some counties have already cobbled together programs to try and meet that need. And I think this bill would help those programs operate more efficiently and effectively. It creates an incentive to recycle all of the covered electronic devices in Minnesota, both the rural and metro alike. It requires manufacturers to recycle a certain obligation or portion of the electronic waste stream coming in based on their sales the previous year. So for every pound of e-waste they would sell the previous year, they would be responsible to recycle 1 pound of e-waste that current year, except for the first year when it's 0.8. And I think that was mentioned earlier that the reason for that reduction was just simply because there is going to be a ramp-up time for a lot of communities to get these programs in place and to form those new partnerships. And of course, the other thing was alluded to earlier is the obligation. If a manufacturer does not meet their obligation based on their sales, that they are to pay in 50 cents a pound for that waste. And that's an important part because that makes sure that the waste that's out there is being collected. And I think there was a comment earlier by one of the senators regarding how are we going to ensure that that waste is collected in the outstate areas. And that's an important piece, is to make sure that there's enough money in that fund, if there's an underserved community, to be able to go back and be reimbursed for what they did take in that year. Again, that's the incentive to doing that. There's also another incentive in there that was alluded to when Senator Higgins spoke about her amendment. And that's the 1.5 pounds of waste credit given for collection of e-waste outside the metropolitan areas defined in the bill. Maybe put that in perspective, how that would encourage recycling in outstate Minnesota would be if you have a truckload of e-waste, let's say 14 tons, saying in Anoka, and another one saying in Hallock, Minnesota, which is in northwest Minnesota, of 14 tons. If a manufacturer chooses to recycle the truckload in Anoka, they only get credit for 14 tons. If they do take that load, which is going to cost more to get to market from Hallock, and I like to pick on Hallock because that's out there quite a ways, they would get credit for 21 tons, you know, 1.5 times the actual weight that they did collect and paid for. So I think that's a very important part of this bill, to try and ensure that service does take place in those outstate areas. And again, if a manufacturer chooses not to participate, or doesn't form partnerships, they can just choose to pay that 50 cents in into the state, and reimbursement would be available for those underserved areas as well. The other large portion of this bill is it reduces the potential for environmental impact, or negative impact in this case. There's in this bill minimal but necessary registration and reporting guidelines are in place for collectors and recyclers to ensure that whatever is taken in is actually recycled. It's not warehoused somewhere in a building that sits for 4 or 6 years before it goes tax forfeit and becomes a burden for someone to take on. Or it's not shipped to a place where disposal is legal, a neighboring state, or out back, dug a hole out back on a rural farmstead and disposed of. Those are the things we're trying to get away from, and I think this bill provides a mechanism to try and discourage that. It also creates a program, a statewide comprehensive program, an organized program, that would at least reduce the need for end-of-life fees. I would like to say they'll all be free, but there may be some cases where a county or a municipality needs to charge to recoup some of their cost in doing collections. But having a convenient and affordable collection system and recycling system really takes away the incentive for a resident, in this case, to take a truckload or their TV, whatever it would be, and dispose of it illegally like the pictures up here display. And that's what those pictures are of, our residents that just simply chose not to pay an end-of-life fee and, you know, dispose of it without incurring that cost. So I think those are very important things to keep in mind. And then the last thing is, again, going back to the illegal dumping, the survey you have in front of you, and which I'm sure you'll probably review at a later date when more time is available, provides a snapshot of those communities in your districts and how they're handling it and what problems they've encountered, and I'd encourage you to look at that. But one number that does jump out and supports that is, being there is no comprehensive program in place, a lot of communities either are subsidizing on tax statements and they don't see a lot of illegal dumping, or they're using end-of-life fees. And 53 of the 87 counties reported that there was illegal dumping that took place in their community. And several of those that did not, just from experience, I know most of their residents are running across a county border to a community where they're subsidizing it and getting rid of their waste and putting that burden on their taxpayers in the neighboring county.
Mr. Bowman, this is excellent information.
So I guess just to summarize, having a ban on video display devices without a collection program result in significant issues for counties and other municipalities. We don't have service in some areas of the state, which is evidenced in the survey. We have high collection fees. A lot of people I've heard, or a lot of senators I've heard, have been referring to $5 a unit. I think if you look through your survey, you'll find that $5 a unit is a subsidized disposal fee or end-of-life fee being charged. I know in our county we're charging that full cost, and that's between $10 and $30 a unit. I think you'll find that that's probably the average for those that are charging 100% at the end of life.
We're going to have to move on to the next witness, Mr. Steiner. This is excellent information. I think
thank you, sir.
You drove the point home. Thank you. Did you have any more witnesses?
Mr. Chair, Valerie Pace from IBM would like to say a few words. Then we've got Mr. Johnson from Asset Recovery Corporation, who's been in the environment business for a long time. And Ms. Bowman from Hewlett-Packard is here to speak as well. We have somebody who can hand out copies, please.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Valerie Pace from IBM in Rochester, Minnesota. I would like to have Tim Mann here, but Tim is stranded first in the Tampa airport and second in the Charlotte airport trying to get here. He will be here tomorrow to speak to the House, and certainly I'd like you all to know him. He is the global expert on e-waste for IBM worldwide, and he has written the comments that I will speak to today. First, I want to thank you, the authors, Senator Higgins and Garth Hickel and the PCA, for taking the time to listen to IBM's concerns with this proposed bill, to meet with us and to really consider suggestions that we have that we believe would improve not only the workability of the bill, the administration of it, but I think most importantly the success of implementing a manufacturer or producer responsibility approach. Let me begin by saying that this bill impacts IBM minimally. IBM does not sell to households. We do sell VDTs, video display terminals, as part of our server systems today, but generally it's not a huge impact to us. We do believe, however, that since many commercial products do cascade and end up in household waste, either by going first to schools or nonprofits through that end-of-life phase-out strategy, that much of our product has occurred in the waste stream historically. And our goal is to ensure that there's a workable recycling program in every jurisdiction because we feel that's the environmentally responsible thing to do. And our goal in being here today is to focus on a successful implementation of a program in Minnesota based on the bill that's currently before you. As many of you are aware, IBM, over the last several years, has approached an advanced recycling fee, similar to what's implemented in Switzerland and the Netherlands and California, where at point of sale, consumers pay upfront a fee, and then that money generates a public system to handle all e-waste with no end-of-life fee. That has not prevailed in Minnesota. We understand that, and we're here today to propose how changes to this approach would make it more reasonable for manufacturers to implement and hopefully improve its success. Five suggestions were made by IBM. Two were incorporated in the amendment that you have before you that Senator Higgins has presented. Those included conformity to the European Union RoHS standard for hazardous substances. And there's an exemption process in that, and that was accommodated in the amendment. And we think that's just a good, sound management system and reporting structure that's reasonable for all. And the second was this proposal to use actual sales or estimates based on national sales, simply because manufacturers do not know where their product ends up. The vast majority, with the exception of a few manufacturers, is sold through retailers, goes through warehouse systems, and goes in and out of states. So that's just a much more difficult number to come to. So we appreciate the accommodation of that alternative approach. We continue to have serious concerns about the targets that are set in the bill. The success of the bill, I guess it depends on whose vantage point you have. If you're looking to raise a lot of money, this bill will do that, because the penalty structure and the target that's set are unreasonable for what's in the waste stream today and what's possible, really, to achieve in particularly a startup of a program. With experience in many different jurisdictions, have come to expect that something like a 0.3 ratio is a reasonable and an aggressive target to get back from old waste. The fact is we're selling 2 to 3 times more TVs and computers today than we sold 10 to 15 years ago. And what this bill focuses on is recycling that old product. So to say, if I sell a new one today, I should recycle an old one, the numbers will never work. And that's the flaw in this legislation. Even at the 0.8 number target that is offered up in this amendment, it is still excessive. And it's our projection, and I think other manufacturers here can speak to this, that even if we achieved what we think is possible, maybe 12 million pounds in that first year, that the penalties could be $10 to $20 million. And I don't think that the state of Minnesota wants to communicate to manufacturers that they have created a punitive environment when manufacturers are being asked to step forward only in this case to recycle their products. We have fee structures for tires, for oil, for all sorts of other product recycling in this state. This is the first time that we've asked manufacturers to take on this responsibility. Now, our other concern is that we really want this to be successful from the get-go. So our proposal is that we consider adjusting that initial target, and or that you adjust the penalty fee to a lower rate, not eliminate it, but just say instead of 50 cents a pound, it looks more like 25 cents a pound to get the program up and running. And I think by asking manufacturers to engage in this way, which we are willingly stepping up to the table to do, setting a reasonable target, and then annually increasing that goal so that we can continue to improve as we get more experience working with whomever to bring more waste into the system, we can all be successful. There is no incentive in this bill for consumers to recycle. There will likely be end-of-life fees involved. And so in order to create the kind of positive environment that encourages everyone to participate, I think it's very important that we set a successful strategy from the get-go. The second concern that we have that hasn't been addressed deals with manufacturers who are deemed responsible in this bill for recycling. It is manufacturers of video display terminals and TVs. I think in very good faith, the proposal was made that we could count all sorts of electronic waste as meeting our obligation. But in reality, what we've done is set up a punitive system where some manufacturers are carrying the responsibility for recycling and the cost, and other manufacturers are skating free. I don't think that's the intent of anyone in this state. And there are only two solutions to this. One is you broaden those manufacturers who are responsible. If you produce DVDs, if you're involved with cell phones, you can include any electronic products you'd like in this recycling approach. But then you need to have those manufacturers participate in the solution. The proposal that we put on the table was simply to pare back the products that are covered to match the products that are counted in recycling and set that target reasonably so that we're paying for our own products to be recycled. We believe those are reasonable requests. We believe they increase the workability of the bill. We believe they're fair and reasonable, and they communicate a fairness to manufacturers in this state who are really carrying, a disproportionate responsibility here compared to others in the chain of commerce who also benefit and profit from these products. With that, I will certainly stand for questions. I'm very appreciative of your time today and know that we've worked long and hard on this bill. We're all here to make it successful, and I think the goal is to have it successful right out of the chute from the get-go.
Thank you. Questions for the witness?
Mr. Chair, just let me say that the 50 cents a pound is not a penalty. It's just a fee. It's not punitive. This program is not meant to be punitive to the manufacturers. We've had lots of discussions with Ms. Pace, we have many steps to go on this bill, but pretty comfortable with where we are in the bill right now. As I noted before on the top of the amendment, page 2, we state that if the 1-to-0.8 ratio is found to be not correct, we have a mechanism where we'll come back and fix it. This is where we'd like to start now. We started at 1-to-1. We've backed it down to 1-to-0.8. I'm not going to go, I don't think, to a quarter of a pound, because I just fundamentally disagree that there, and as we see, there's a lot of product out there. I bought my first computer for home in 1981. There's a lot of stuff out there. Next to speak is Mr. Johnson from the Asset Recovery Corp.
Let's hear from Hewlett-Packard next. Is Ms. Bowman here?
Ms. Bowman,
and then we'll take you, Mr. Marshall.
It's okay.
Mr. Johnson, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Staub.
there is an amendment, and I think it would be good just to have it distributed so that members can look at it.
And if you have an amendment you want distributed, we can
It would give the opportunity for Ms. Bowman to comment on it. And it's not my intent to push the amendment, but I think to get the language in members' hands would be good.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members of the committee, for allowing me to present HP's comments today. My name is Heather Bowman. I am not the executive director at HP, but I am the manager of environmental policy at Hewlett-Packard. And I'm here today to say that We really do not disagree with anything that has been presented today regarding the goals and the issues. HP has been a long supporter of the concept and the model, which is producer responsibility. We have experience worldwide. We have been an early adopter of the Ross Directive and have worked very hard to make sure that the HP is a leader, not just on the recycling issue, but on environmental issues in general, along with a lot of other companies. However, we have been recognized here in the United States and in the Americas as a leader. Because of our commitment to producer responsibility, we think really hard about this stuff. And we have a lot of people in the company who have a lot of expertise, have a lot of more expertise with spreadsheets and comparing what goes on and what's been happening with our recycling events, with our position in the marketplace and things like that. Our biggest concern with the current draft of the legislation is the allocation of responsibility. The allocation of responsibility being based on what is sold is what our concern is. The amendment that has now been put before you, and which I would like to thank Senator Stump for allowing me the opportunity to put this in front of you, basically does one thing, and it just changes the responsibility, the allocation of responsibility to manufacturers to be based on what's returned in the state rather than what's sold in the state, or an extrapolation based on national sales figures. We think that this makes a lot more sense to the consumers, to the state government, and certainly to the manufacturers, because what it allows is us to evolve our programs to meet those needs of the consumers in this state. We can ebb and flow our programs based on what they're doing rather than what they're purchasing, which we've really found out that there really isn't a correlation between what they're ready to recycle and what they're ready to purchase. We've all probably given a computer or a TV to a child, or in my case, my parents, or put it in another room to watch, you know, video games and that kind of thing. So what we know is that it's not a one-for-one exchange. Just because you're purchasing a new computer doesn't mean you're actually getting rid of one. So we have a lot of concerns in this allocation based on sales. We've had lots of discussions here with different stakeholders about this concern that we have. And I've tried to, in the amendments that have been offered, tried to address some of those concerns. And we realize that different companies have different approaches to how this is going to happen. We heard that from a lot of people today, that there's a lot of different ways to kind of bite at this apple. We think that the idea of producer responsibility is the right approach. And we think that this amendment, which makes a tweak to how that allocation is given to the manufacturers, is a reasonable approach to making sure that you still have the manufacturers involved. However, what this does is helps us to have more confidence that we would be able to meet our responsibilities in Minnesota by running a recycling program. Under the market share approach, we have a huge fear that even if we run a very robust program, we would not receive enough product back from the consumers, and we would then be penalized. And I apologize. We feel that having to pay based on that 50 cents a pound is a penalty, because we know, based on all of our experience, that it doesn't have to cost that much to run a recycling program. And, you know, it's not just me saying that. The Product Stewardship Institute did a study with Staples and found that the average recycling cost was 38 cents a pound. So, and that was kind of in our view, on a high end. But we understand that our ability to contract is probably a little bit better than some of the other entities out there that may run programs. And that's exactly what it is that we're talking about here, is encouraging manufacturers to use our market powers to keep these costs to the consumers as low as possible. So we absolutely agree with the testimony that says that this is the right thing to do. We agree, and we want to be involved. We want to run a robust recycling program here in Minnesota to meet our responsibilities. We would just like the opportunity to make sure that if we do that, that we'll be in compliance with the law. One of the things that the current version asks us to do is to certify that we will be in compliance with the law. Now, given what we know, the responsibility under this the current version is to recycle your allocated responsibility. I can't ask one of my senior managers to certify that we will be in compliance with that section before I even know what consumers are responding to, which programs they like, whether it's a mail-in program or the collection events that we've sponsored with Best Buy or, you know, other things that we might do to try to meet our responsibilities. We really appreciate that this amendment would allow us that opportunity and allow us to ramp up our programs to try to meet those needs of the consumers here in Minnesota as they are doing their behavior, which is returning it to us. I think if we were able to control consumer behavior more, I might be here saying something else, but what we know is we can't control consumer behavior. And so what we're doing is just a simple amendment to try to make sure that as we are involved in this system, that we can make it work, and we stand ready to support this if this amendment is made. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Questions for the witness?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to put this amendment out, knowing that Senator Higgins has worked long and hard on this, and that she would definitely consider some of the testimony and information and that's been presented.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Stumpf. This amendment is, just with a quick look through at the process that this amendment would go to, is about 2005 bill, maybe. And we, as we were struggling to work within the parameters of this bill, in previous sessions, you may remember we put together a task force, House and Senate, to try to figure out how to make this bill work. And you know, there were just so many issues involved with this that you know, may have helped Hewlett Packard, but harmed another person along the whole stream of this. So what we went to as a result of the task force, Senator Frederickson was on it. Senator Kubley, Senator Bach, I can't remember who the other person was. So as a result of that task force, we then moved to the model that we're proposing today in the original bill. Yeah. So thank you for putting this out. It is another option. It's an option we chose not to go to, or chose to move away from, more accurately.
Hewlett-Packard has been at the forefront of this electronic recycling. That right?
Yes. And we believe
before
so, yes.
We all, before government started talking about all this, you all were kind of doing your own thing.
Yes.
Already. And that was on a return share model.
Absolutely.
So, and
yeah.
That kind of is and what drives the thought process that you're offering as well. I mean,
yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And it's really not just HP saying that this is an interesting approach. This is what was implemented in Maine. This is what is being implemented in Washington under the laws that have passed there. This is the concept that is being widely accepted and debated in other legislatures throughout the country, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, Hawaii, all over, this idea of return share. And we really think that by passing something this year based on return share here in Minnesota, Minnesota can act as a leader in that group to really try to make something work. As the other states, I mean, the great thing is that we can kind of learn from what they've already done. We actually listened a lot during the task force that was created here in Minnesota, and tried to address some of those concerns by making sure that there wouldn't be big warehouses that are stored until there's a truckload of stuff for each manufacturer. We realized that that was one of the big concerns here based on what we had in 2005, that there would be a storage issue, and we're like, oh, okay, that makes sense that that would be a concern to the local government. So what we said is that it's not just our stuff that we would be responsible for. We would be responsible for a weight. So exactly the same as what's being proposed on the market share side, it's an allocation by weight. So I would recycle anybody's products, IBM, Dell, Commodore 64s, if some of those came in. You know, I mean, it's an allocation by weight. So there wouldn't be that storage issue. Also, to come up with the numbers, we really think that this program can actually hit the ground running in a way that doesn't require all of the sales reporting, the reporting between the retailer and the manufacturer, and then the manufacturer to the Department of Revenue and the Department of Revenue to PCA. We don't have to go through all of that administrative burden. There are numbers that would be available today that we can base the first year on, and then after that it would be based on what's really happening here and what the consumers here in Minnesota are really doing. So you can probably feel that I'm very passionate about this. We know that this can work based on our experience. We are just about to reach our goal in 2007 of recycling 1 billion pounds of material. And, I mean, that was a very aggressive goal for us. And I can tell you my boss was kind of worried that we were putting that in our global citizenship report and all of that, that that was our goal. But we are absolutely on target to meet that and actually exceed that in this year. So we have experience. The other thing I would mention is that my team back in California that works on this issue, we're not just the ones that are here talking to you about what might work on paper. We're the ones that actually have to implement this, and we're working with that in Maine. We're working with that in Washington State, in Maryland, and in California. And our proposal here today is based on all of that experience.
See, it sounds like Hewlett-Packard has kind of been doing this from the get-go.
Absolutely.
But the problem as I see it, is that Minnesota has not been doing this from the get-go. We've got piles and piles and piles of electronics that have been piling up from past years and years. And so we need to address the past practices, all that past pileup, in addition to what we're going to be doing from here on in. And I think that's part of what is driving Senator Higgins' approach in her bill.
Mr. Chair, that's why we're pretty comfortable with the proportion we've got.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, as comfortable as Senator Higgins is, I am equally as uncomfortable with that proportion. And the other thing I would say is, with all due respect, I mean, I'm just, it's our experience in running these programs. And Mr. Chairman, I would also note that Minnesota is actually doing a lot compared to the other states that I go into. The fact that you can put together such a report that even talks about what the counties are doing and have all of them actually understand what you're asking is a huge step forward, because in other states, they kind of look at you funny when you ask, what are you doing with e-waste? They're trying to still figure out how to get people to throw the garbage in the landfill instead of their backyard. So you are really actually ahead. And I would say what we want to do and what we feel that this proposal does is it builds off of what's already happening. It encourages us to continue to use what's already happening, but enhance that and provide more opportunities for consumers to get rid of those piles. It's in our interest to recycle these. This is the way HP looks at this. It's an extension of our supply chain. So it's another service that we want to offer to our consumers.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time.
Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you know, you went through it in terms of the difference, but I would love to see something contrasting between this amendment to where those distinctive differences are. I think you've made a very good case, but to just try to understand that a little bit more for those of us who haven't been tightly involved with the specific process would be a great help.
As far as being able to point you to the sections, or actually doing kind of a side by side on the table,
side by side on the key areas that there's some contradiction or conflict on now.
Chairman Senator Olson, I would be happy to provide that back to the committee. I don't have that prepared today, but I'd be happy to make that happen.
And Mr. Chairman,
Olson,
just a question as to process, as to what the area of responsibility of this committee is, because I presume this has a few other stops.
Yes.
And you know, some of the things that we might be concerned about might be within the jurisdiction of another committee to deal with, but it would be helpful to you know, for any of the information, or if are you planning to move this on today, or are we likely to have any further discussion on it? Because otherwise, we're if this is an area of that belongs in some other jurisdiction rather than here, then it isn't as you know. It'd be nice to know, but it's not going to help us in a decision.
Okay.
It would, but it may well be useful in another jurisdiction too.
That's a great suggestion.
We're gonna move this out today. And I think you can tell us which committee it goes to next, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, it will go from here to Judiciary, then it will go to State and Local Government Operations, then it will go to Education Finance. And then to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, so
do you mean Environment Finance?
What did I say?
Education
Finance. You're right. Yeah, no, Environment Finance.
Oh,
so I totally did stop
Chairman.
Right there.
There is an education.
There's
Senator,
an education
Senator,
piece in here, but not
Senator
right.
Stump.
Just to maybe help clarify the questions that the committee has, I have not moved the amendment,
correct.
So I just wanted to make that available, that information available. So.
Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee. Do the committee a favor and talk to us about kind of the nitty-gritty. What happens when something is recycled? A piece of electronics.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I will. Thank you, Senators. And first of all, I want to commend all of you for tackling such an important topic to help Minnesota's environment. I've been asked to provide an overview of the industry. I just briefly want to talk about asset recovery. Asset Recovery Corporation is a 20-year-old. We're celebrating our 20-year anniversary. We're based here right in St. Paul. In that time frame, we've processed over 300 million pounds of used electronics. We have a contract with the state of Minnesota, so we process used electronics for government offices, for some counties, and from cities. And we're very proud we have a zero landfill policy for all used electronics. It is estimated right now that there are over 800 million computers in use in the world, and the lifespan of these computers continues to decline every year. Several years ago, a computer would last 5 years. Now some of the computers that are being manufactured because of the advancement of technology, they're decreasing significantly. But the exciting news is that sound electronic recycling can really be a win-win. And I want to give you an example. In the average desktop computer, there's 2 pounds of copper, which is 100% recyclable. If you were to mine 2 pounds of copper, you would create 620 pounds of waste rock. So it really is a win-win that you prevent this hazardous waste from going into our waste stream, and you help our environment from keeping these precious metals from digging more holes in the world, and also you keep jobs in Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Johnson, that's one of our crime control issues, is people going on building sites to steal copper. Could we get that word out somehow?
I visited with several senators about that, and we're actually excited about that legislation.
Also
I know
my bill.
It's... And
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what bill you're talking about, but
no, the copper that's in computers is sometimes it's inside the circuit boards, so it can't be readily harvested. It has to be processed with machinery and things like that. So it's very difficult to get out for the average person compared to stealing a statue or taking pipes out of a home. So in addition to the copper, a majority of the plastic, aluminum, steel and precious metals can be recycled from all of these used electronics, which can be reused, and it helps the environment. With the bill, I'd like to highlight just 3 recommendations in order to help the environment, and that's the overall goal. One is to make it as easy as possible for consumers in order to drop off this equipment, and I know there's a lot of different ways to do that. The second is to ban the export of non-working electronics. And I'd like to just to go into this a little more detail. Some electronic recyclers actually collect used electronics. They put it into a shipping container, and it is sent off to a third world country, China, Africa. And there have been documentaries about this where children are taking them apart in order to harvest the commodities. They burn the copper wire, and the fumes go up to the environment, which will eventually get to Minnesota. And they also use acid leaching in order to get some of the other precious metals. So I strongly urge you that you ban the export of non-working electronics. And lastly, that you have an audit procedures for electronic collectors and electronic recyclers. So I applaud you for tackling the issue, but once the mechanisms are in place to create this supply of used electronics, you have to make sure that the people that are handling them are under state and federal regulation through an audit process to make sure that they do not end up in landfills, to make sure that the lead gets processed in an environmentally friendly way. In closing, I just would like to say that the electronic recycling infrastructure in Minnesota is in place in order to handle this form of legislation and in an environmentally friendly way. And I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak, and I'm open to take any questions.
Questions for the witness? Senator Higgins, did you have something to add?
Mr. Chair, I was just looking at the A3 amendment, and there's a typo on 1.22, there are a couple of words that are flopped. The word devices should be after the word display rather than after the word manufacture, and maybe when we finally, we can just incorporate that in the amendment as it goes.
Actually, you should have to move it again.
For the next stop.
It's already been adopted.
1.22.
Should be video display devices the manufacturer sold. So just transpose them.
Does council have that?
Yep.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr.
Fredrickson.
Chairman, I would move that, and I also have another suggestion on the same previously. Is this amendment adopted?
Yes.
Previously adopted A3 amendment. Senator Higgins, if you look on lines 112 and 113, that deals with the first year is set at 0.8 for the first program year and 1.0 for the second program year. I'm assuming that this program is going to run, or we all hope it's going to run, more than 2 years. So I think that instead of the second program year, that should say each subsequent year. Otherwise, there would be no fee after the second year.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, I think that's fine. And then just a reminder that on the top of the second page, we also say that if that proportionate we find is not correct, the PCA will direct or give us some advice on how to change it in future years.
Chairman, Senator Higgins, does that need to be incorporated in here? Is that?
It's in here.
It's in.
It's in.
Okay, that's
it's in. It's on the back of that same amendment.
All right, so Senator Fredrickson moves that on page 1, line 13, delete the second and insert each subsequent. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then on line 22, page 1, line 22, after the word display, insert devices, and after manufacturer, delete devices. Does everybody understand that amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other quick word usage amendment. On page 7, line 8, delete such and insert the.
There was a such that got in there? I'm sorry, Senator Fredrickson. Where is it, please?
Page 7, line 8. Such, insert, drop.
Mr. Chairman,
he just wants to change such to the.
Correct. Yeah, it should be the original.
I thought we had to delete all amendment from there.
That hasn't been offered.
Okay, does everybody have that? Senator Fredrickson moves that amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Was there any other discussion for Mr. Johnson on the asset recovery? Did you have something for Mr. Johnson? Mm-hmm. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, you mentioned your concern about the export of the waste. Is that covered in the bill, or was that a recommendation that you felt ought to be considered?
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I'm not know all the details of the latest amendment to know if that's covered, but that was just a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, is that issue addressed, or is it not your intent to do so?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, it is not addressed, and Mr. Johnson gave us a couple of good ideas, and I'll be looking to see it about which ones we should adopt in the next committee or the next committee or the next committee.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Johnson, do you have any idea of what, or a hunch of what percentage of the recycling that's now going on is handled in that way?
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, there's industry figures about the nation. I don't have any specifics about Minnesota, but there's industry associations that have said sometimes up to 70% to 80% of the material that's collected in North America is exported. So it's a major issue. There was a documentary done on this called Exporting Harm by the Basel Action Network to where this is taking place in internationally.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rick Erdheim, Phillips Electronics.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, members of the committee. My name is Rick Erdheim. I'm senior counsel for Phillips Electronics, and I'm here on behalf of Phillips Electronics and 13 other manufacturers who we work with cooperatively, names you've heard of like Panasonic and Sony. We, too, have participated in the process. We, too, want to see electronics recycling legislation passed. We, too, are as frustrated as everyone else. Last year, I made platinum status going around the country. I hope not to have to do that again. But unfortunately, we can't support the bill because we think it has three major flaws. First, we've heard a lot about shared responsibility today. We don't see shared responsibility. Manufacturers have the entire cost of funding the burden. In addition, the bill goes on to say that manufacturers now have to pay not only for their products, but for other products that they don't even manufacture, and I'll get into that in a second. Second, as a leading manufacturer, and I'm going to talk about this, the focus of my comments is going to be about this, not only does this bill not provide for environmental design of TVs, which I'm primarily talking about, it actually discourages manufacturers to make environmental design improvements. And finally, given the current market conditions, it's not economically viable for manufacturers to pick up the cost of this burden. So let me focus on environmental design, which I think should be a major focal point of this committee, and I know it is of Senator Higgins. Phillips Electronics is a global manufacturer. I'm sure you're familiar with some of our products, not only TVs. We're the world's largest lighting company. We own Norelco appliances and Sonicare toothbrushes. And if you've ever been to a hospital and had any imaging done, there's a good chance it was a Phillips piece of equipment that you did. And I'm going to use Phillips as an example of environmental design and as an example as a responsible manufacturer. As early as 1998, we created a list of banned substances that you couldn't use in any products unless you got a specific exemption from a corporate-level decision board. And that corporate level is at the corporate headquarters in Amsterdam. So if someone wanted to do something, make a product with a banned substance, they actually had to go to Amsterdam to get approval. It's something that certainly discouraged use of those materials and has led to us having significant reductions. The Dow Jones, you've probably heard of, has a sustainability index. We have, for three of the last 4 years, been number one in the leisure goods section. The 1 year we were not number one, we were number two. Sony was number one. There is a worldwide organization called the Global 100 Organization, which ranks companies worldwide on their sustainability. They've done this for 3 years. We've been on the list for three straight years. Last year, we won an award for European Green Design TV of the Year. We were the first computer monitor company to have a full line of products that were lead-free. This Monday, we released our latest sustainability report. It's the fourth or fifth year we've done the report. And as part of that, we announced that for TVs, there's already an Energy Star standard for use of energy in what's called standby. When you're not using the TV, it still uses electricity. The standard is 1 watt. We announced that we would, by next year, have all of our TVs 80% below the current Energy Star standard. Okay, so let me just show you, Ben, and I'll show Senator Higgins. This is from a Business Week article just 3 weeks ago about corporate officials doing good things. And here's a chart, who's doing well by doing good. And in the household durable goods section, which is one of the 10 categories, the three companies that are highlighted are Philips Electronics, Sony, and Matsushita, which is Panasonic. So again, we are constantly recognized as being in the leader of this effort. And why do we do that? Well, we see sustainability as a business opportunity. We think it's a win-win. We think we can do good for the world, and we can make a profit at it. We think, and maybe this is an immodest statement on my behalf, but we think that legislators, and particularly legislators who are concerned about the environment, would want to create a regulatory and economic structure that encourages companies like ours to succeed and encourages companies to do things like what we have been doing. And unfortunately, this bill, no matter, I understand it's an unintended effect, doesn't do that. Everything has to be recycled. Everything manufacturers have to pay for the cost. There's no benefit for me to do anything better because I'm going to have to pay for it. Same thing whether I make a good product or not a good product. So we think that it actually discourages companies like ours, primarily in the TV industry, by imposing costs that we can't recover. And I won't go into the details about that. We've heard a lot about, well, the cost manufacturers will have will just be incorporated into the price of the product. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I wish it were that easy. If it were, we'd be supporting the bill because we just incorporate the cost into the price of the product. Why would we care? But that simply does not reflect the economic reality. Let me just conclude by talking about the subsidy that I mentioned before. And IBM has already raised this concern. We have data now from numerous collection programs which consistently show that the number of collected products is about 30% of the number of sales products. So if you were going to, and this is for TVs, so if you were going to set a standard for us to collect, you'd set it at 0.3 for every one that's sold. So the 1-to-1 or the 1-to-0.8 is simply not, we couldn't possibly capture enough TVs to make that standard. Now, we're told, well, you can capture other products. You can recover other products, products that you don't even manufacture, to get to your standard. So what this bill does is say to a company like Philips, which doesn't make printers and doesn't make computers and doesn't make fax machines, go out and collect those things, and that will help you reach your target. So we're going to subsidize those manufacturers who don't have to register and who don't have to pay for collection. We think that's fundamentally unfair. So we want to see a bill. We want to work with the sponsor and the committee, but we think the approach needs to be based on shared responsibility. We think we want to have a system that encourages rather than discourages environmental design improvements, and we want to have something that's economically viable to the responsible manufacturers so that years from now we will still be on the list that I just showed you from Business Week. With that, I thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Do we have questions for the witness? Members, we were about 20 or 25 minutes late in starting the hearing because of session, and I think we've done a pretty good job of getting us back on track. But and so we're going to act on the Senate file now, but we're still good. Senator Fredrickson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate file 235 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
Okay. Quick question, Senator Higgins, on line page 12, section 9.
Is it going to be action? That's what she said it had to go.
If the U.S. EPA suddenly sets regulations for e-waste that are less stringent than what you have, does what we're doing here get wiped out under your bill?
It'll supersede that.
Mr. Chair, yes. We've had something in 5 years' worth of bills. I think every bill that was put in that had something similar to this, we would hope that it would be equal to or better than what we propose here. We're hoping.
Do we want to think about allowing Minnesota to be more stringent than the EPA if it wants to be?
Should. Mr. Chair, I think we should. So we'll work on language for the next stop on that. That's actually one of those judiciary type of issues.
Okay. And then the other question is on the back to Commissioner Reinhart, where she paid $30 for recycling one of her electronics. Is there something in the bill that says that when we do this, then those fees, end-of-life fees, are then going to go away, or something that says that we're not going to have to pay those end-of-life fees as well?
Mr. Chair, there isn't. What we were hoping in being able to get some money out to the counties is that if the county organizations are charging an end-of-life fee, they can either make them smaller or eliminate them. We don't require that they do. I think that Commissioner Reinhart probably took her computers to a private company that she paid an end-of-life fee for. I almost suggested to her that she just bring it over to my house and I put it out in Hennepin County, but I didn't.
Do we have any indications from your whole stakeholder process that those fees would go down or be removed once we put in this funding source?
In the private companies, Mr. Chair?
Anywhere.
Chair's up there.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Tilley just pointed out that those pictures there are the reasons why the counties are charging those fees, because they're in those cases they are having to go out and pick up those. So there is a cost to the local units, and if we get the money out to those local governments, then they should be able to reduce those end of life fees.
Further discussion on the Fredrickson motion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator Higgins. And the meeting is adjourned.